to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
So I learned, you know, I was going to get there at daybreak, and then I learned nobody went out at daybreak because the ice was still everywhere at daybreak. And but I happened to get it when I got there. Danny Ivey said, "Danny, won't you come in my boat?" So I got in Danny's boat. And then I learned if I'd known Danny's philosophy, I might have reconsidered. And that was, he's got, what size is your motor on that boat? A 150 on this boat. And he said, "Pastor Terry, won't you drive?" And I said, "All right, I'll drive." And I didn't know his philosophy. It was this: you can either be twice as cold half the time on your boat journey, or twice, or half as cold twice the time. Is that your philosophy? That's the philosophy, right? You can either be twice as cold half the time. When he said floor it, I floored it. Somewhere in about 5 minutes later, I can't breathe. Come on, somebody. And I'm driving the boat, you know. It was cold, but we had a great time and a great fellowship time. And really had a great time. All right, now that you're seated, you can stand up, as always. So go ahead and stand up. And we're going to talk. This is our last morning. We're going to do on the blood of Jesus. And I want the men that do communion, I want you guys to come up. We're going to start at the very beginning, pray over it, and separate it so it's already on the tables. And so if the men, the deacons, you guys come help me, and we're going to separate it out on the tables, and then people can go get it. They're going to go to different tables, and that way it'll speed up some stuff at the very end. Because I believe the Lord wants to do some things. We talked already about confidence and what the Lord wants to do with confidence in your life and all that's taking place. But yeah, leave it all there a minute and we'll pray over it. Let's pray over it first, and then we're going to let you guys distribute it. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning we've come. We ask you, Lord, that as we obey in commemorating and doing the Lord's Supper, Lord, even as they did the Passover year after year after year, you honored it, oh God. And this morning, as we do communion one more time, that you will honor the communion. We do this often, Lord, in remembrance of you. And this morning, we ask that your presence would be here, that it would be real, that it would be more than just a ceremony. But Lord, you said that you would be there in a very real way for healing and touching and deliverance and protection and everything, Lord. And we love you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. 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 Guys, go ahead and distribute to the different tables if you would. Everybody stay standing while they're doing that, if you would. And we're going to read Revelation chapter 12. And it says, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole earth. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now is the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb.'" Everybody say that with me. "And they have conquered him by the blood of the..." And they, say it with me, "and they have conquered him by the..." It doesn't say that they did it right then, but they had already done it. And this morning I believe with all my heart that you need to know, and one more time, that you can conquer the devil by the blood of the Lamb. Father, we bow our heads this morning. We thank you for the confidence that we have in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We yield. We lean. We trust in it, oh God. And we thank you, Jesus. We believe that your life is in it thereof. And so we give you the glory and we honor the blood of Jesus this morning one more time. And we give you all the praise. And everybody said a great amen, would you? Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, without blood, the human body would not live. And without blood, the church of God is really not the church of the living God. In fact, you know, you can cut your body just about any place and it bleeds. And just as blood flows through our veins, the blood flows through the Bible. In fact, one guy said you could cut the Bible anywhere and blood would come out of it. 400 and some times the Bible mentions the blood in one aspect or another. In fact, without the blood, the gospel is dead and we're deprived of eternal life. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the New Testament." And what we're about to partake of this morning is the blood of the New Testament, or the New Covenant, that we have entered into. In the Old Testament, anytime there was a covenant, there was the shedding of blood. There was the slaughter of an animal. And that blood then was given in entering into that covenant. But the new covenant was not done with animals' blood, but the new covenant that you and I are a part of was done by the blood of the Lamb of God. It was done by Jesus. He shed his blood. The reason there was a cross was because there was a covenant that needed to be entered into and ratified. And it was done so by the blood of the Lamb, not by anything else. It wasn't done by anything except by the blood of the Lamb of God. We are in a covenant. We're in a marriage. We're in a relationship with God, not based on anything else except the blood of the new covenant. Jesus said at that Last Supper, he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which I'm shedding for you." We're entering into a new covenant. And he says, almost all things, Paul said, is by the law is purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remissions of sins. Colossians, Peter said, "And we are redeemed not with silver and gold, but with precious blood." And John said, "The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." We looked at that in lessons gone by. You know, we begin to understand that the blood is internal. And for blood to be used, or blood to be whatever, there has to be a cutting of some sort. There has to be a letting, as they used to say, of blood. There was a poor man down in I think it was Midland or Odessa. He was a sheep farmer. And I read about his life. His name was E.L. Yates, Y-A-T-E-S. And he was so poor, he was contemplating bankruptcy. And the bank was about to repossess his farm. He'd done everything he could do to raise capital. And he just raised sheep. And he literally had hundreds and hundreds of acres. But he was about to lose everything until one day that a survey crew from an oil company showed up on his land and asked Mr. Yates if it would be okay if they were to drill for oil on his property. And the contract stated that he was to receive out of every 8 barrels, he was to receive one of them. That was a contract they drew up. At 1,115 feet, they hit a gusher. That well produced 80,000 barrels of oil a day. Wells soon followed that could produce twice that capacity. Even 30 years later, the government survey shows wells that has the capacity of 125,000 barrels a day. It proved to be one of the richest veins of oil ever found on the North American continent. How many think Mr. Yates is not worried about bankruptcy anymore? And the amazing thing about it was he was always wealthy. He just didn't know it. He was sitting on wealth and didn't even know he was sitting on wealth. He's eating bologna sandwiches, worried about the banker coming, and didn't know he was a millionaire, many times over, sitting on a wealth. And let me tell you, there's a lot of Christians doing the same thing, sitting on a wealth of the blood of the Lord and not knowing the riches of the glory of the blood of Jesus. They're living like they're poverty. They're living like they're not really brought into the covenant. They're living like they're not sons and daughters of the Most High God. They're living like this and the other things have brought them into the kingdom. When the Bible says you cannot come to the God any other way except through the Lord Jesus. And he said the only way that is when I shed my blood and it's brought you into the kingdom of God. You know, when you go to an airport, we fly a lot. And sometimes in an airport, there's two types of passengers. There are passengers that have confirmed tickets. And then we have the group called the standby. You know why they call it standby? Because you stand there and you wait by it. Everybody else gets on the plane. That's why they call it standby. And so you can see, you know, the people that got their tickets, they're just lounging around reading the newspaper. You know, they're eating. They're doing, you know, the people that don't have a confirmed, they're standby. You see them, they're up there walking. They're looking. They're going to the desk and asking one more time, any word yet? Got any? No word yet. Da, da, da. You know, that's the difference. You got to know that there are, I watch Christians that when you ask them, "Are you going to heaven?" You know what they, many of them act like they're standby pastor. Come on, somebody. They don't know if they're going or not going. And they don't know the power and the riches of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They think somehow it's still built on their production or whatever it may be. But, and those things have their place. But don't put the cart before the horse. You have to understand you're saved by the blood. And you're saved for good works, not by good works. Faith has saved you. Faith in what? Faith in the blood of the Lamb of God. Faith that that blood was enough to eradicate your sins and bring you into the covenant, into the New Testament. I'm living in the New Testament, not by any other works that I've done, but by the blood of the New Covenant. Listen, some of you are sitting on an oil well. You don't even know it. You're sitting there worried about bankruptcy. You're sitting there worrying about whether you're going to have enough bologna sandwiches to eat or whatever. You got to get up and know the power of the blood of the Lamb of God. Come on. Hebrews 12 says this. We begin to look, it says, into Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Everybody say a new covenant. He's the mediator of a new covenant. This is the new covenant we're part of. And to the sprinkled blood, everybody say sprinkled blood. That speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. It speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus, we saw last week and the week before, the blood of Jesus speaks. It has a power. It has a voice to it. It says, it's still powerful today. It has said something. It is saying something. And when you get a hold of the power of the blood, and I want to talk just a couple things, and we're going to take communion. But one of the things the blood says, one of the things, a better word that the blood speaks is reconciliation. Now look at this in Colossians 1. I want you just to read this with me. Peace equals reconciliation. Colossians 1 says, and through him to reconcile. Do you ever know anybody at work or at school or in a neighborhood? You ever know anybody that's gotten a fight? You got angry at each other. I'm not a physical only, but, you know, got an argument and, you know, there's some friction between them there. You know, and you ask, have they made up yet? Have they been reconciled? And then you see them over there eating lunch together, or going out together, or doing this and that. You say, well, they've reconciled. What do you mean by that? Well, you mean that there was differences between them, but those differences now have been dealt with. And those that once were apart have been brought together. They're in relationship again. And there were things that separated us from God. But guess what the blood did? The blood reconciled us to God. I'm reconciled to God this morning. There was something between me and God, but the blood of Jesus reconciled me back to God. I used to be separate from God, but now I'm in relationship with God. You can see us eating lunch together every other. I mean, you just want, we've gotten back together. We were separated, but now we're reconciled. That's what this means. And through him to reconcile himself, all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace. How did he make peace? How did Jesus make peace? By the blood of what? By the blood of his cross. He made peace by the blood. And so the blood says this. I no longer have, let me say, the blood says, God no longer has a problem with me. The blood has reconciled me to God. God no longer has a problem with me. The blood of the cross reconciled me to my God. God likes me now. Come on, somebody. God's not angry at me no more. The Bible says God used to be, the blood of the cross satisfied the anger of God. I am now satisfactory to God. He says that middle wall has been broken down. Now we're back together. We've been reconciled. And the blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And it says reconcile, peace, peace. Bring them back to, there's peace in the house. You know what, in my soul, I walk in peace because I know I am okay with God. I am in right, I am okay with God. Look what Hebrews says. Look at the, everybody say confidence now. Here's what, come on, Hebrews. Look what Hebrews says. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence. Everybody say confidence. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by what? Why? I don't have any confidence, but. Man, yesterday I had the best day of my Christian life. I feel confident today to walk into the presence of God. You're no more worthy on your best day than you were on your worst day. The only confidence I got, good or bad or in between, the only confidence I've ever had in my life is I'm going in there by the blood of the Lamb of God. I'm entering into the presence of God. Listen, when God looks at me, He's got rose-colored glasses on by the blood of the Lamb of God. And He looks at me, not, well, now you had a good day. Now you can have confidence. Every time, how many think that I probably had worse days and better days when I come to this church? You know the old story. The wife goes to the husband and say, you going to church today? Nope. He goes on and finally the wife says, well, you got to go. You're the preacher. Come on, somebody. But you know what? Every day I come in here, you know what I do? I said, thank you for the blood of Jesus. I am not made worthy by my own strength and my own works. I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Come on. Give him a great clap offering. Come on. Brethren, we have confidence by the new and the living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is through His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith with our heart. How can we do that? With our heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He says you can have your heart cleansed, sprinkled by the blood. You can have your conscience clean before God. You know what I asked God to forgive me? I said, God, forgive me by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, thank you what you died for my sins. That didn't happen just one time in my life. I keep doing that over and over. I say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me from that, oh God. Wash me anew. Let my heart, let my conscience be clean before you. You know, a guilty conscience isn't something drummed up by ancient Christianity. A guilty conscience is what God put inside of you. Your conscience is valuable. That's why you never run roughshod over your conscience. And you never run roughshod over somebody else's confidence. If somebody, listen, Paul said in Romans 14, he said, if somebody believes this and that is wrong, then it's wrong unto them. But if somebody else can do this and this, then it's not wrong. He's talking not in parameters. He's not talking about all this other stuff. But he's talking about within parameters, about holy days and which day is better and foods and all that kind of stuff. But you come to this place where you know this. Your conscience can be completely cleaned by the blood. Look at verse 19 again. I like verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood. Listen, you can have confidence. Everybody say confidence this morning, would you? What if you got brought into a courtroom and said, sir, are you married or not? Yes, sir, I am married. How do you know that you're married? Because I remember this tingly sensation I had. I remember this rush of emotion I had. I remember, I just felt I'm married. How many know about 10 dozen scrambled eggs later, you may not feel like you're married anymore. Come on, somebody. You know what every court of the land does? If they said, are you married? And you say, yeah. Do you know what they want to see? Show me the certificate. Show me the documents that says you're married. I do a lot of weddings. I've done lots and lots of weddings in my life. And every time I say, you know what? They're so nervous during the ceremony and this. And then when all that's over with, we're over here signing papers. And ain't one of them, they're just not nervous. They're just signing away. And I said, legally, this is what really makes them married right here. Signing this paper. You know what I know about salvation? How do I know I'm saved? Oh, I had this tingling sensation. I had this feeling 22 years ago. Ooh, you know how I know I'm saved? It's written down. These things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, the blood and the spirit bear witness this morning that I have confidence that I am saved. And I don't have to be sitting on some oil well being a poor sheep farmer worrying about bankruptcy because I am wealthy beyond words can ever tell. I've got the blood of the Lamb has redeemed me and bought me back and brought me into reconciliation with my God. And so we sang that song. We'll sing it again at the end, at the very end. But I am a friend of God. Some people say, oh, you're kind of haughty. No, I'm just saying what the Bible says. And when you say it in the right spirit, then you can say it with confidence. And you can enter into the holy place of all by the blood of the Lamb of God. Everybody say amen. Give one more good clap offering this morning, would you? Come on. Then the last thing this morning, it sanctifies. Everybody say sanctifies. That's kind of a word that we don't use a lot of, but sanctified means to be set apart. Sanctified, you sanctify all kinds of things in your life. You set them apart. How many of you have some dishes you just like eating out of those dishes? Let's see here. How many's got, some of you just, you don't matter what the trough is, you just go at it, you know. But some of you have, how many of you got a special glass? Or, you know, how many, there are some glasses you like better than others. There are some bowls you like better than others. There are some spoons you like better than others. And they get it down the dish disposal sometimes. But there's some things you like better than others. And what happens is that means you set them apart. And set apart means there's favor given to it. There is there's an anointing. I could say it that way. That you might, won't understand it until we read it. But look what Hebrews 13 and 12 says. The next thing the blood says is the blood has set me apart. I am set apart more than any other. The church of God is set apart. The church means the called out ones that have been sanctified, means you've been set apart. From the time I was a little boy, I knew I'd been set apart. I just knew it. No bragging, no, you know, unhealthy ego. But I knew that I had been set apart. My parents knew it. They told me from the time I was a little boy, God's hands on you. They're, you've been set apart. And I knew what that meant was God's anointing was on my life. God had set me apart. There was things that I knew God had set me apart. And I just knew it. I loved God from the time I was a little boy. I only got away from God a few years. But I just loved God with all my heart. And I've learned something in life. The blood of Jesus speaks that setting apart. This is what it says. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify. Everybody say sanctify. Sanctify the people. Knows how he did it. Through his own blood. He set us apart. Look at the next scripture, Peter. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit. Now you need to get this because the power of the blood is in the Spirit. I don't know how to say that so you can grasp this. The power of the blood. We were sanctified by the blood. How does that? Because the blood has to be sprinkled by faith. And that happens through the Spirit. Notice, according to the foreknowledge of God, in the sanctification of the Spirit for the obedience to Jesus Christ and for the sprinkling with his blood. The power of the blood has always been by the Spirit. I don't know how to say that. The power of the blood has always been by his Spirit. Because the words that you read are dead letters unless the Spirit brings them alive. Amen. The Spirit is always that which is moving. If I could define to you what the Spirit of God is, it is God in action. Whenever you read it, you read of God the Father. You read of Jesus who was could be sitting still or he could be acting. But when you read of the Spirit, you never read the Spirit sitting still. He's always moving, doing things. From the very beginning. And so what the Spirit of God is, the Spirit is literally God in action. God moving, God doing. The Bible speaks about sanctification. The Bible says he offered himself through the Spirit. The blood was offered through the Spirit. The Spirit is the power of the blood. Listen, sanctification has to do with setting apart. It has to do with anointing. And look at this. Leviticus chapter 14. Let's read this. And let me see what I can use back here. Let me use this chair over here. There was a story twice told, and last we read about it last week. If you're reading the scriptures with us, there was a story in the Leviticus, I think 6 or 7, and it was a story of Moses anointing Aaron and anointing Aaron's sons. And I think Monday our reading is going to be Leviticus 14. And it's going to tell the story of how God cleansed the lepers in the Old Testament. And the first way that it was verses, I think, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, tells the story that when someone had leprosy, the way they could be cleansed was if leprosy went away, they came back to the priest and the priest would take some blood and he would sprinkle it on him 7 times. And that leprosy then was called, he was clean from the leprosy. And so the leprosy was gone when he did that. He was cleansed from his leprosy. All right, you got that? So in Leviticus 14, here's the next thing he would do after he was cleansed from his leprosy, which was a type of a person becoming clean after they've been a sinner. But that wasn't the end of the applying of the blood. Here's what I want you to get. You read the previous 5 verses. That leper was cleansed by sprinkling of the blood 7 times. And he was pronounced clean to come back into the camp. But that was not the end of the application of the blood in his life. And that's why some of you, the only time you've ever thought about the blood was back in the application of you getting saved. And you believe, but that's not supposed to be the end of you applying the blood to your life. Because Jezebel, we apply the blood daily over our kids, daily over our family, daily over our lives. And so here's he's been sprinkled 7 times, he's pronounced clean. And here's what the priest does beyond that. The priest shall take some of the blood of the guilt offering. And the priest shall put it on the lobe. Who can I use? Pop, can I use you a minute? Can I use you? Oh, watch this. Pop, you just sit right there. Would you sit on that chair right there if you would? And face them if you would. Yeah, you got to face them. And all right, watch this. The Bible says the priest would do this. The priest, after he sprinkled this dirty, rotten leper right here, and the leper became clean, he pronounced him clean. The Bible says he would do this to him. He'd bring him into the camp, the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest then would put on the lobe of his right ear, all right? He would put some of this permanent paint right here on the lobe of his right ear. He would take it, and he would put it on his thumb. Raise your right thumb. He put it right on the top of his thumb. And then the last thing he would do is he would take it. He would take it and he would put the blood on the top of his right toe. All right?
Right.
Read this. He put it on the lobe of his right ear. Look here. Put it on the lobe of his right ear. Put it on the top of his right thumb and put it on the top of his right toe. I'm proud of you. Pop's got on good socks. I mean, I'm proud of you right there. You did a good job. Right ear of him who is to be cleansed and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Now watch this though. Because the blood, I told you this, the blood's power is always in the spirit. And the Bible says after he did that, then the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it in his left palm. All right, go ahead. Go to the next one. And dip his right finger in it of his left hand and sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. Verse 17. And some of the oil that remains in the hand of the priest, he shall put it on top of the blood, on top of his right ear. Put the oil on top of the blood that's on top of his right thumb. And put the oil on top of the blood that's on top of his right toe. Come on, somebody. Amen. He would anoint him. And the Bible says, who is to be cleansed? On the thumb of his right hand and his big toe, his right foot, on top of his blood of the guilt offering. Verse 18. And the rest of it, he'll pour it all over his head. And it runs down everywhere. He'd be clean. Give Pop a good welcome. Didn't he do a good job? Here you go. There's some cleanse. Now, I did that for a reason. What do I do with my cap? There it is. Now, let me tell you what he did. Literally what they did was for this. The blood after this leper was cleansed. 7 times, we read those scriptures, he was called clean. He was not the ending of the application of the blood in his life. The priest came and the priest did the same thing that he had done to Aaron, that had been done to him. He had by Moses. Moses had taken the blood and did the same thing. Put it on his right earlobe, his right thumb, and his right toe. And then, listen, the blood, listen, the anointing, the Spirit always answers to the blood. That's where you wonder, why isn't God doing anything? Because the Spirit always answers to the blood. The Spirit always answers to the blood. And the Bible says, before the anointing came, before the oil, which represents the anointing came, there was the application of the blood in three areas of this man's life. He'd already been announced clean. He'd been sprinkled by the blood. He'd received forgiveness and cleansing, and he was brought back in the camp. But he said, but you know what? There's something further you can do. There's further power. There's further usage of the blood of the Lamb. That is, you can apply it to your earlobe. You can apply it to your thumb, and you can apply it to your big toe. Do you know those three things? Put those three things I had up there. Here's what it is. Ear speaks about your thought life. Ear speak out whatever enters in you. It's your thought life. It's what you hear. You know one thing I do with the Word of God? I've learned this. I can take the Word of God. So I'm going to do my daily reading today. And I'm just going to read and get it done with. You know how much I get out of it? Zilch. But you know what? If I apply the blood and the anointing comes, and then I pick up the Word of God. Brother Eccles taught me that years ago. He said, I used to go down to the church, he said, and pray and pray and pray. And he said, then I'd leave, and a few hours later, I'd read the Word. And he said, but I learned this. I take the Word with me. And when I finish seeking God and praying, I read the Word. He said, the anointing's on my hearing. I can hear. What I couldn't have understood before, I can understand now. What is not, it's just it's not a novel where you're learning facts. It's living. It's life. The words that he speaks are alive. And that's why you can deal, if you're dealing with thoughts in your brain, and you say, I'm just going to say no to it. You know what you need to learn? You need to learn how to say, I sprinkle the blood of Jesus over my mind one more time. And when you apply the blood, it calls forth the power of the Spirit, and the anointing will come on your life. Your thumb is your work life. Did you know it's okay to deal with Christian things in the workplace? One of the greatest lies that were ever told was a separation of church and state. It is not in the Constitution. It's made up. It's pretend. Some of the greatest presidents we ever had loved God with all their heart and used Christianity throughout. One of the guys that wrote a book on just walking through Washington and seeing where the Word of God is everywhere throughout Washington. It's on the Supreme Court building. It's on the Lincoln Memorial. It's on the Washington Memorial. It's everywhere there. And what you learn to do is you never divorce your work life from your Christian life. You learn how to take the blood and apply it to every part of your life. If you need wisdom, apply the blood. It brings the anointing of God on your life. You'll learn lots of things in life. And then the last one is your walk life, your everyday walk life, your family life, on and on. Listen, say this with me. Say, I once was a leper, filled with sin. Jesus came outside the camp where I was, sprinkled me with his blood, removed my sins, brought me into his presence. Now I'm ready for the blood to be applied to my thought life, my work life, and my walk life. Listen, if you haven't taken advantage, you're just sitting there like Mr. Yates was, being a poor old sheep farmer and not realizing you're rich beyond your wildest dreams. You have at your disposal the greatest power the world has ever known. It will do what nothing else will do. It'll do more than soap will do. It'll do more than lye will do. It'll cleanse you, protect you, give you anointing in your life. You just don't know how rich you are. Yeah, come on, give him a great clap offering one more time. Even though you're in the camp, the devil can still attack you. But see, that's what the blood does. The blood sets you apart. The blood can sanctify you. The blood, this I learned in my life, we pray over our children because I want the blood to set them apart. And whatever comes in my life after I've done that, then I know God's meant it for good. The devil may have meant it for evil. Be like the days of Job, and that took place in my life. I'll just believe, okay, God, they meant it for evil. But the only reason it got in my life was because you allowed it. And so I believe God. Come on, somebody say amen again. I trust in God in everything that happens. The blood brings the oil. Say this with me. Say, the Holy Spirit will never anoint me until I apply the blood to my life. See, that is how the anointing comes. The anointing always answers to the blood. The Spirit always comes after you've applied the blood. After you've sanctified. Look what Hebrews says. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 1. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God, has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Did you notice that when you spurn the blood of the covenant, you outrage the Spirit of grace? Why is that? Because the Spirit always answers to the blood. And the Bible says, how much sore punishment will you think he that spurned the Son of God has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged? In doing that, you've outraged the Spirit of grace. But what if you honor the blood? What if you glorify the blood? What if you apply the blood? What do you think the Spirit of grace does? The Spirit of grace anoints you. The Spirit of grace sanctifies, sets you apart. The Spirit of grace gives you knowledge and wisdom. The Spirit of grace begins to teach you things out of the Word. The Spirit of grace begins to block the devil's attack against your mind. The Spirit of grace begins to anoint your work life. You'll do more with less. The Spirit of grace will begin to anoint your walk life. You'll begin to walk it out in your daily living, in your family, in your life in general. Come on, somebody. He will do that. God, we praise you. Thank you for the blood. You know, when you honor the blood, it happens. Listen, bringing the blood and applying the blood, there is power still in the blood. And the blood builds a hedge about your life. If you don't understand this, the power of the blood builds a hedge around your life. We'll read this and we're going to have communion. Look at Exodus. Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take the bunch and look at all the four doors. We have blood on all the doors over here. The side one should be down a little bit, but see the blood on each, on the sides, on the top and on the sides. He said, take a bunch of hyssop. Now hyssop was just a common plant. It was around every house, hyssop. And you took it. And it was a symbol of common faith because the Bible says everybody has faith. Nobody in here does not have the ability to take the blood of Jesus and sprinkle it on their life. Nobody does not have that faith because hyssop was common to everybody. All you had to do is go take hyssop and take it. And that was a symbol and a type of faith because there's not a person in here. The Bible says that you are saved by faith. There's a common faith. And you don't need a super duty, miraculous type of faith to be able to take the blood of Jesus. And from the smallest to the greatest can take the blood of Jesus and sprinkle it on their life and on their family, on their situation. Take a bunch of hyssop. He didn't say take some holy thing. He said take some hyssop. Dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintels and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike you. Now, think about this. How many's been through a hurricane here? How many's been through a hurricane? You live in Louisiana, you've been through a hurricane. You ever been in a house waiting for it to hit? And then the freight train hits? And you're sitting in there, you know, most of you went and bought plywood and you went and bought, tie down your shutters or take them off. You brought everything inside that you could bring inside, Fido and everything else, and you're hunkered down inside. But you know what the Bible says is, and you're trusting in the, you know, they tell you trust in, if it gets real bad, go in an inner room, go in a door frame, get somewhere, you know, because you just, but you know what these Egyptians did? I mean, these Israelis did. They're sitting there. And there's this death angel, this destroyer that's coming over the land. And they're not sitting there with machine guns and shields and plywood up on their doors. You know what they did? We're going to trust in one thing that will keep the destroyer out of our house. We're going to trust in the blood of one little lamb. And we're going to believe that that is going to be enough protection to protect us from that which is going to destroy everything else. Let me tell you what it takes to believe in the blood of the Lamb of God. That it is enough to protect you not only from demonic things, but from the destroyers of this world, whether it be financially or our sickness, is to sit there and believe with all your heart that applying the blood of Jesus by faith, that it will be the protection that you need in life, whether it's your business or whether it's your life or whether it's your thought life, your work life or your walk life, that applying the blood of Jesus as they did that night. And, you know, it never happened before. They'd never done this. They were now saved and they were coming out of Egypt. Now they were coming out of Egypt. They were going to be delivered. But this was a protection from God. Let me tell you something this morning. We've come to a place where we have to believe with all our heart that the blood can protect us. And God said this, here's what I want you to do. Every year I want you to enact this again. Every year I want you to do the same thing again. Enjoy the Passover meal. And you know what they would do? Every year they would come and they'd reenact the Passover one more time. And this morning I want you to get ready because we're going to take communion right now. That was enacted every year until it came down to the time of Jesus. And for three times in his life, he reenacted the Passover when he got older after he started his ministry. 33 times total in his life as far as we can tell. And when he comes to that last time of his life, and I tell people this, it's the last time that God would ever honor the Passover. Because he said, I have with great desire, go ahead and put that scripture up there, your next scripture on Luke. He said, with great desire have I desired to eat this Passover. Come on, Luke chapter, come on. Next scripture, Luke, do you have that one? You don't have it? The Bible says he came to him and he said, with great desire have I desired to eat this with you. In fact, let me just read it. I've got a Bible. Isn't that unique? I got a Bible up here. I can read it. Listen, it's Luke chapter 22. And listen to what he says. Luke 22 and look at verse 14. And the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly, everybody say earnestly. I have earnestly desired, he never said that before, to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I think the reason he wanted to do that in the Greek language, I mean, in the Hebrew, the Greek language, it is so intense. You know why? Because it was the last Passover God would ever honor. They'd go on and do the symbolism, but this was the fulfilling of the Passover. This was the shadow becoming reality. This was the lamb becoming the real lamb. This was the earthly animal becoming the heavenly being. This was the blood of a something that needed to be done yearly to where the blood would now last forever and ever and ever. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat of it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it. He says, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then likewise, he took the cup. Now he's instituting something new. He took the cup after he'd eaten and he said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Come on, somebody. You know what he's looking at him saying? He said, listen, you can live and you can walk and you can think and you can work because now you're going to be under the blood, not of lambs, be done yearly. You're going to be under the blood of the Lamb of God. Listen, listen. This morning when we take communion, we're doing what they did for centuries when they applied the blood to their houses. And they believed in the power of that blood to protect them, to sanctify them, to set them apart, to reconcile them unto God. Father, this morning we stand as a people and we humble our thinking and we submit to your word and to your way. And we thank you this morning by the power of the Spirit of God. When we come and we're going to apply the blood afresh and new to our lives, that the power of the Spirit will be among us. We ask it in Jesus' name. I want the musicians to come, and as they are coming, I want every one of you to go by and pick up a communion. I want you to pick up the bread and a little cup of the juice this morning. And then I want you to go back to your seat, and I want you to get ready this morning, because we're going to, by faith, do it again. Come on, everybody do that. Everybody step up. Go ahead and get communion, the two pieces, and go back to your seat and just hold it. You're welcome to stand, kneel, sit, whatever you want to do. Come on, go do that real quickly this morning. Father, we thank you this morning. You're so worthy. You are so worthy, oh God. Lord, we just come by faith this morning. We're coming into your presence by faith. Lord, we're coming in, Lord, by taking common faith this morning and applying the tremendous gift that we have been given, the treasure beyond value, precious blood, not with silver or gold, as costly as that is, but we have been done with something more costly, more precious, the power of the blood of Jesus.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
Jesus, yeah.
And I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within
me. Take the piece of bread this morning. I told you that blood is internal. And for blood to be useful, it had to be shed, which meant there had to be a cutting, a breaking. And when you read the Bible, he bled seven different times. When you read the New Testament, seven different times he bled for us. Because his body had to be broken. His body had to be cut. His body had to be pierced. It's the body that many of us, you know, we take so much time with our body and all that we do to clothe it and make it look, you know, this and that and all that. He gave his body freely. Because he knew it housed the life of God. He knew that body had been prepared to be an offering. That body had been prepared to house the life of God that one day needed to come out and needed to be shed. It has to be shed and sprinkled. So, Father, this morning as we partake of the bread, we thank you for not preserving your body, but you gave it willingly. Thank you for willing for it to be pierced and cut and speared and stuck with thorns and for being under pressure to where your sweat would become blood. And thank you for all that, Lord. Thank you for giving your body to us. And we do this day in honor of you, Jesus. And everybody partake of the bread in remembrance of him, would you? Many years ago, before medicine had progressed too far, before we understood about germs and how to combat that and all that, a Jewish doctor by Dr. Rue, I believe his name was, had a granddaughter that died of black diphtheria. They became so intense about solving a cure that no one else would have to go through that, what he had to do with his granddaughter. He began to study it and how to fight black diphtheria. And before we'd reached the time when we understood how to fight germs and all that, wasn't known at that time. He began to discern that and began to think that through. And he was in Paris. And he owned some horses, and he got so belief in that he went and he took the diphtheria, and he brought a bunch of scientists out to his farm, and he swabbed he got black diphtheria, uh, the the black diphtheria culture and brought it, and he swabbed the nose and the throat and, some, and the ears, I think, of 10 of his horses, his most strongest race horses he had. And as the time progressed, they all began to die. And most of the scientists left that we're going to wait around, but one of the horses survived, broke its temperature, came up, grew strong, began to eat and beat the black diphtheria. Kind of bad because the doctor then killed that horse, took its blood, and went to a ward where there were 300 babies that had been segregated off because they all had black diphtheria. They were all segregated off to die. And he made an inoculation out of the blood of that horse that had beat it. And he inoculated all 300 of those babies. And out of those 300 babies, 297 of them lived and came back. And you know how they did it? They overcame it by the blood of an overcomer. Come on, somebody. And Jesus says, I have overcome the world. No man takes my life from me. I give it freely. Jesus didn't die of cancer. He didn't die of old age. He gave his life freely. And this morning, what we can do, we can overcome. How can we overcome? By saying no on our own strength? Absolutely not. The way that we're going to overcome is we're going to be inoculated with the blood of an overcomer. And I'm going to make it. When I get to heaven, how did you make it, Pastor? I made it by the blood of the Lamb. How did you defeat the devil? I conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we honor your blood this morning. We believe it's the blood of an overcomer. We believe that you defeated death and you came out the other side and shouted, oh joy, and you brought forth life from the grave. And now for he that believeth shall never die. And Lord, I believe this morning in the power of the blood over my thought life, my work life, and my walk life. I apply it, Lord, this morning. And I believe as I remember it by faith I'm reaching out as I partake of this. I believe healing for our bodies. I believe protection. The destroyer will not come in our house. It will cover me. It will be my protection I need in my life. And we glorify you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Everybody shouted a good amen this morning. Amen. Go ahead and take of the blood of an overcomer this morning. Do it. Who am I? Friend of God. Everybody say amen again this morning, would you? Say a good amen this morning. Amen. Give him a great clap offering. We're going to sing Who Am I? Go ahead and kick it off. Kick it off real good. Who am I? I'm a friend of God. We're going to sing a friend. Everybody stand up this morning. Bow your heads. When we pray in the mornings, Jasmine and I will pray, Lord, I just pray the blood over our children. Lord, I just thank you for the power of the anointing. It's coming on their lives because I believe and honor the blood. I don't disparage it. I don't belittle it. I honor it. And every day I believe and I sprinkle, Lord, I pray for their thought life. Watch them, whatever they're thinking. Lord, watch them on computers. Watch them with their friends. Watch over them, oh God. Cleanse them, Lord. Father, I pray for their work, what you've got for the calling on their lives. And God, I just pray for that. I pray over their walk life, who they're going to marry, their kids, their grandkids. I pray for, you just pray all those things. You just pray and you believe in the power of sprinkled blood. You believe as those Israelites did sit in that house when that mighty, mighty destroying angel came over. It could not pass the blood. It could not come beyond the blood. Death could not come beyond that. And I've learned this in life. If some things are unanswerable, some things happen in your life, then God, you know, God has a reason. And it's not because people did something wrong and didn't have enough faith and all this and that and none of that stuff. God has purposes. I understand. And like Job was a perfect, I believe the Bible says it was perfect. And there was a reason. There was something God did. And so what I've learned in life is there are seasons when I've done everything I can do and then I trust him. When I cannot trace him, I trust him. It says his footsteps are in the sea. That means you ever try to follow somebody in a creek bed or in a sea? There's the steps are washed away as soon as they step. You can't follow them. But even when I cannot follow, I can trust. And even when I cannot trace him, I can trust him. I can say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. You know, Job's in heaven now with all of his daughters, all of his sons. They're all in heaven with him. They're all there with him. He's rejoicing. And he didn't really lose them long term. He lost them a little bit. They're there in heaven. And you know, there are seasons of our life when we just have to come to God and say, God, I want to be your friend. And nothing will ever separate me from the love of God. Nothing will separate me from the love of God. Lord, I have been brought near. I am your friend now. I have been made near. I can come with confidence. And I can lay my heart bare before you this morning. I pray for our church this morning, God. Bless them. Lord, help us. Encourage us to not just sit as beggars when we're sitting on an oil well. When we're rich beyond our wildest dreams, let us walk as children of God, friends of the Most High. We love you. And everybody said a great amen this morning. Give them a great clap offering if you would. And turn around and hug somebody. We'll see you Wednesday night. Come on, we're going to do our prayer meeting in here. Doug will be doing it again, and we're going to be praying together. Hug somebody, would you? God bless you. You go in the name of the Lord.